Great. And so, over the last 4 weeks, we've been embarking on this series called Obedience. And so, we looked in the first week, we looked at a brief history of obedience. And so, we went from Genesis to Revelations, and Steph preached a great word just highlighting what obedience was. And then week two, we had Reverend Evans here, and he came and he preached on the obedience, Christ's obedience. We wouldn't be here today, right? We wouldn't be reconciled with the Father. And through his obedience, we've been reconciled with the Father. And then last week, Steph came and preached a brilliant word around the enemies of obedience. And so what are the things that are keeping you from obedience? What are those things that come and distract you and just remove obedience out of your life? And so this morning, what we're going to be preaching on about is we look at the church today, we look at our nation, we look in South Africa, we look at our families, and we're asking God, where are you, God? Where is your power? Why don't we see signs, miracles, and wonders? Why aren't we seeing these things? Why don't we see your power? Why don't you just come in and just straighten things out? God, why aren't you doing these things? Many of you today might be asking the question, and for many, many, you've been in the church for quite a long time, and you're asking yourself the question, am I actually going to heaven? And so I believe today that that God in his people has designed you to be carriers of the presence of God. And as he's designed you to be the carriers of the presence of God, how that happens is through our obedience and through our faith in him that his power will be displayed here on the earth, in our country. It's through you. It's not, God's not, God could come and do it on his own, but he chooses to use you and I. And so, God. And so, what I would like to do this morning is the first point I want to mention is what is faith and what is it not? And so, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance, the realization of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the realization, the awakening, the revelation, the seeing of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we know that we can't see God, but we know God is there, right? We know God is with us. And so Hebrews, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And so we know the worksman by his workmanship. If we look around and we look around and we see nature and we see creation, we know there is a God. And so the poor guy that's living in the Amazon jungle, he knows there is a God. Why? It's because he's in God's creation every day. It speaks to him every single day that there is a God. For a person to say that there is no God, I don't think they're actually realizing that God reveals himself through his creation. And he reveals himself through who? Us. For the Bible says that we have been made in the image and the likeness of God. And so you are representing who God is. When people look at the church, they go, there must be a God. Amen? We are important. And so, faith is not self-desire. Faith is not self-ambition. Faith is not self-will. It's not something that we decide to command. I'm going to say it again. Faith is not your self-will. Faith is not in your self-desire, your self-ambition. It's in the obedience to God's command. That's what faith is. And so a few years ago, to give an example of this, a few years ago, Kerry and I, we were in our previous church. We left our previous church and we thought we heard God and we thought, hey man, God's called us to open up a church. And so off we go, we start opening up this church and I'm convinced. And about a few months down the line, things just didn't go as well as seemed, you know. We lost our home, we lost our car, not our car, we lost our home, we lost our furniture. And I was like, hey, God, didn't you tell me to start a church? Wasn't it you? Jesus wants more churches, right? Surely that must be the right thing. Surely that's what God's word is telling me, that we should, you know, preach the gospel to the nation. Surely I need to start a church. That's what you told me to do, God. So I'm stepping out in faith, God, here I come. But it failed. Why did it fail? Because it wasn't from the command of God. God didn't tell me. It was my self-will. It was my self-ambition. It's what I thought God was telling me to do. Not going, surrendering it to Christ and saying, God, can you please speak to me? Can you please confirm this word for me? And so what do we know about Jesus? In John 5:19, he says, "Then Jesus answered them and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do this, the Son also does in a like manner.'" And so how do we see? Through the Word of God. How do we know God? Through spending time in His Word and praying, speaking to Him, conversing with Him, talking to Him. And so I want to make a strong statement here this morning. If you're not in prayer and you're not in the Word, I doubt that what your decisions are, the decisions you're basing your, what you're basing your decisions on is not faith. It's self-will, self-ambition. That's what it is, church. And so many of us today, we've lost our faith in God. Why? Because we pursue, we do that when we submit it to God. What does God do? He comes and He speaks a word. And let me show you how He does this. Many of us know, Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? And so Matthew 14, 22, we know the story about Peter who walks on water. And it says in verse 28, so let me get a little bit of context. So Jesus is now going to go pray, and He says to the disciples, "Get in the boat and go. You know, go and sail and have a little bit of fun." And all of a sudden, they see Jesus walking on the water. And they say, "Lord, if it is you, command me." In other words, give me a word. Tell me to come to you on the water. And verse 29, so He said, "Come." What is so amazing, so Peter sees Jesus, right? And he goes, "Yes, I want to do that. He's walking in water. I want to do that. I want to come to you, Jesus. But I'm not going to step out because of a desire. I'm going to step out on what? His word." It wasn't the desire that kept him on the water. It was the word of God. It was Jesus' command. Faith. It's not faith without the word of God. It's self-will. It's self-ambition. It's self-desire. And so there's a parallel thing that happened when Jesus says in John 5:19, we see it in the story. Jesus says, "I only do what I see the Father do," right? And He sees the Father, then the Father gives Him a command, then He goes and He does it. It's exactly what happened with Peter here. It's exactly the same. He sees Jesus, there's a desire in his heart, and He gives him the word, and He says, "Come." And he steps out on the water and he comes. Amen? So that the world may know that I love the Father. Your acts of faith result in showing people how much you love the Father, or revealing the love of God from your heart to Him. It's an act of worship. That's what faith is. And we will touch on that a little bit later. And so, church, we need to ask ourselves the question, could we get it wrong? Absolutely, yes, we can get it wrong. I've got it wrong so many times. The Bible says that many will fall short of the glory of God. We will miss it. We'll miss the mark sometimes. So how can we avoid it? Are you in a life group? Are you submitted to leadership? Are you taking that thing before people and saying, "This is what I think"? Can we actually pray into this and ask God to speak to us? And so there are many ways that we can just protect ourselves from making the wrong decisions and losing our faith in God. That's why God designed community. And so this morning, if you're not in a life group, I want to encourage you. I want to plead with you, get involved, get into a life group, be accountable to leadership, because it will protect you and protect your faith. And so in this life group series we're busy with right now, we're talking about spiritual disciplines, and it's been unbelievable because it will help you hear God. It'll help from that place, faith is built. And so I want to encourage you. After the service, we're going to ask the life group leaders to stand. And if you're not in a life group, I want you to go and make it your mission this morning to get into a life group. Amen. So now I was in bed in the week, and it was I actually woke up with this statement in my heart. So you guys better appreciate this one, because Jesus woke me up for this one. And I love my beauty sleep. My beauty sleep, Cornell. And here it is. Just because there is a need does not mean you need to act in faith. Just because, so Acts chapter 3, there's a man who's lame, right? And he's at the pearly gates. He's at the gates and he's lame. That would be amazing, a lame man in heaven. That would be so wrong. So there's a man, he's lame from birth, and his family take him to the gates and they seat him down. And how many of you know that Jesus walked past this man a few times? In fact, he did some miracles. He healed a blind man just not too far away from him. He actually saw the miracles happen. But why didn't Jesus heal him? Why didn't Jesus go and pray for him? I truly believe it's because respond to a need. It responds to the command of God. Come on, church. And so you might be seeing a need, and you want to reach out, you want to do it, but did God tell you? Did God tell you? And so what do we see later? We see Peter and John. They come along and they heal him. They say, silver and gold we have none, but rise up and stand. You know, rise up and walk, sorry. And he walks. Isn't it a powerful statement? Isn't it a powerful thing? So faith does not respond to a need. It responds to the commands of God. Faith does not respond to the obedience of a need. Faith does not respond to self-ambition. Faith does not respond to maybe past concern with your comfort. He's not concerned about any of those things. He's not concerned that you live in a mansion. What God is concerned about is your heart. What God is concerned about is, are you being obedient to his call? Are you being obedient to what he's actually calling you to? That's what he's concerned about. He's concerned about your heart being aligned with him. And so if he makes it uncomfortable for you to get you to obey him, well, then that's a good strategy. And I'm in support of that. Because he did that to me. Amen? And so everyone can obey God. He's telling you to tithe and to trust him with your finances. He's telling you to treat your wife well. To love your wife. That's what he's telling you right now. Yeah, scary. I was trying to get like a heated moment here, and Kerry goes, amen. But maybe God is also trying to deal with your sin. And maybe God's put his finger on that sin in your life, and he's asking you to walk away from that. Are you being obedient to what God is commanding you to do right now? Hear him and obey his commands, and he will set you free. Listen, yeah. But he's called Francois and Rolene. But what has God asked me to do? Through the leadership of this church, what do? We pray for Francois and Rolene. That's what God has commanded us to do. And so by being obedient in the fact that we need to pray for them, what happens? God empowers Francois and Rolene to bring breakthrough to Indonesia. We can believe that our prayers have weight. We can believe that our prayers have all the backing of heaven behind it for them. Why? It's because we're being obedient to what God has asked us to do, is to pray for them. And so what can we expect? The fruit of? We can expect that Indonesia will have breakthrough. We can expect that through our prayers, through our obedience with God, that there will be breakthrough in Indonesia. Yeah. Amen? One day. And maybe you're a businessman here this morning, and you're financing this church, and you're bringing thousands of rands into this church, and one day you stand before God and you say, God, I did what you told me to do. I raised so much money for the church, and many souls were saved. And God's going to turn around and say to you, sir, I didn't call you to be a businessman. I called you to be an evangelist. I asked you to lay down those things in your life, to give up your life and follow my command, was to call you to the nations and to preach to the nations. That's what I asked you to do. Some of you might, isn't that what the Bible tells me? That I need to preach the gospel? And some of you might be preaching the gospel to people, but what God actually asked you to do was to be the accountant. And to bring finances into the kingdom of God. Maybe you're a mother here and you think women's ministry around the globe is what God is calling you to do. But actually what God has actually called you to do is to raise your three kids. Because out of your three kids might be the next Billy Graham. What is God calling you to? It's not a self-desire. It's not a self-ambition. It's not self-will. It's obedience to the commands of God. And he's not worried about your comfort. He's worried about what? His name being made famous across the earth. That's what he's concerned about. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Oh, Lord. And so how does this apply to us today? How does this life of Abraham apply to us today? Well, number one, we do know this, that Abraham came from a pagan home. He came from an unbelieving home, a home or a family that did not believe in God. You and I, we didn't come from a holy place. We came from a life of sin. We came from the same place that he did, yet God called him because he had faith in God. He looked at, I truly believe that he saw creation. He was like, there must be a God. There must be, I have faith that there is a God. And God spoke to him. There's no actual account of actually God speaking to him before this moment. And so Abraham came from a pagan home, and we all come from a life of sin. And God called Abraham, and God has called every person to himself. And by faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, we come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and by grace, we are saved, leaving our old ways and our old life. Do you understand that? And then Abraham receives the inheritance, which is what? The land that he showed him. Romans 1:5 says, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. And so we see in Romans that Paul mentions the obedience of faith at the beginning of Romans and at the end of Romans, right? And it's important. Why is it important? It's because the obedience of faith results in what? In Jesus' name being made famous for his name's sake. Not for ours, not for our comfort, but for Jesus' name's sake. That's the reason why there needs to be the obedience of faith. True obedience to God is rooted in faith, so through us is the name of Jesus glorified. I'm going to say that again. As our true obedience to God is rooted in faith, so through us is the name of Jesus glorified. It's why we live. It's why you've been designed. It's why you breathe. It's why you're in relationship with him. It's for his name's sake. And so, by embracing this thing of the obedience of faith, how many of you know that when we become obedient to this faith, that we can see our government change? How? What has God asked you to do? How do we command that God through those prayers that when we are obedient to God in these moments, that we can have faith to believe that God will do something? I don't care what the political situation is right now. I believe in what God can do. I don't believe in the political situation right now where Julius Malema says the EFF is Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. God will humble him very quickly, my friend. And it's through your and my prayer and your prayer, being submitted to God's will, obeying his command in faith, believing that God can do a miracle in our country. I don't say to you this morning, give up on our country. I believe that through the church's obedience and faith, we're going to see this nation change. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that in
you walked into that one.
So I believe the church will be mobilized with wisdom and power when we are obedient to the faith. I believe the world will turn to the church in the time of crisis because the church is obedient to the faith. I believe marriages will change and be transformed and renewed and restored. I believe families will be transformed and renewed when fathers submit to the will of God and start obeying God and what God is telling them to do. Have you got a financial struggle? Guess what? Start obeying God and he will sort it out for you. And even if it might not be comfortable, he will get you through and we will see the power of God move like never before, church. So I asked the beginning, where is the power? Where is the obedience of his people? God, where's the miracles? Where's the obedience of his people to his commands that he is speaking to us? And it's simple. Start praying for your nation. Start praying for your husband and your wife. Start praying for your kids. Start there. Start tithing. Start somewhere. Amen?
Yeah.
It was the obedience of Abraham at the beginning when God called him to leave his old life that God blessed him. And he gave him who? Isaac. It was through this obedience that God gave him a promise, which was Isaac. And he said to Abraham, he said, Abraham, I will give you the descendants as numerous as the one who is your Savior and your Lord. And so I want to make a profound statement this morning that your obedience to faith is not about you, because it will bring the blessed life to those that are around you. Your breakthrough is not for you only. It's for the people that are around you. Your breakthrough will become somebody else's breakthrough. Your act of obedience will be the blessing to somebody else. It's because they will see the hand of God in your life because you obey God. And so people see that and they say, I want that. And so because they see the blessing in your life, what happens? They desire it. They come to the faith. They come to Jesus. And what do? They submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Your obedience to the faith is not only for you. In Abraham's life, when he obeyed, it was actually not about Abraham. It was about the fact that Jesus was going to come and save the world. There was a redemptive plan in what God did in that story. Amen? Some of us must stop actually questioning God. Where to? Where am I going? And just obey. Obey his next instruction. Obey his word. Amen? And so we need to understand that faith without works is dead. James chapter 2 verse 14 says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith? So what I want to illustrate this morning is, let's pretend faith is this side, right? And obedience is here, okay? Faith, obedience. Faith is, we confess with our mouth. Obedience is, we believe in our hearts. Do you get that? Faith is, we accept Jesus as Savior. Obedience is, I submit to his lordship. Faith is not faith without obedience. Obedience is not obedience. It's a dead work without faith. I cannot be obedient to God if I'm not foremost have the revelation of who Jesus is, salvation, or through faith. And then the outer working of salvation is what? Good works through being obedient to God, right? Faith and obedience cannot be separated. They are one of the same thing. Amen? So by faith we come to Christ, and by grace he saves us. And from that grace he gives us the empowerment, he gives us the ability to obey God. Amen? And so what are dead works? And I think it's Bill Gates that gives pretty much all his money away, all his earnings, the Bill Gates, right? Now let's pretend, I don't know if he's saved or he's not saved, let's pretend that he is not saved, right? Is his work, like an example then, let's say for instance that he gives this money away. Is it a good work or a bad work? Is it a good work or is it a dead work? It's dead. Why? Because it's not rooted out of salvation. It's not rooted out of the true faith and obedience to what God is commanding him to do, and then it flows into a good work. Does that make sense? And so many of us are trying to earn the salvation by doing these things. He's going to stand before God one day and go, hey, but I gave all the millions to the world. Surely that must account for something. Well done. It's fantastic. I'm so glad you fed some people. But guess what? It means nothing. Why? Because it wasn't rooted out of faith. And I'm being quite harsh right now, but many of the church believers think that we can get our salvation. If we come to church and we tick all the little boxes, we are the best car guy with a smile on our face. We can even preach. We can teach the kids the word. We can do all these things. We can even know the word. Listen, Satan knows the word. Satan saw God face first, right in front of him. He saw God. He was in heaven. Satan even knows. We can do all these works to try and earn our salvation, but it means nothing. You can know about Jesus for many, 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 many years. You can come to church for 20 years, but guess what? I question your salvation. Because if it's dead works, I question your salvation. It can't work backwards. We do work and then we work back to salvation. It has to flow from salvation. We serve in the local church. Well, then that's pleasing to God. Why? Because God told you to do it. You're obeying God. Does that make sense? Number 5, how do we measure the obedience of faith? How do we measure the obedience of faith? And so last week, Steph landed his sermon so beautifully. He spoke about Mary, and he landed it so well. About Mary with the alabaster box. And so what do we know about Mary? It's first of all, it's this. That Mary goes and she sits at the feet of Jesus. It dies of sickness, right? Lazarus. You guys know Lazarus? And Mary says to him, Jesus, if you were only here, if you were only here, he wouldn't have died. And what does Jesus do? He raises Lazarus from the dead, right? And so it was that act of faith. It was the sitting down with Jesus. And it was through that act of faith, the revelation came to Mary of who he was. It was the faith that revealed who the Son of God was. She's like, he is the Messiah. He is God. He is the Savior of the world. It was through that time, it was through that act of faith that Jesus did, that it just blew in her heart. And what do we know from this? Flowed obedience, which resulted in what? Worship. And so out of that place of faith and obedience, she goes before Jesus in front of everybody, takes the alabaster box, and while she is crying, she washes his feet with her tears. And then she dries his feet with her hair and anoints his feet with the alabaster box. My question to you here this morning, does your faith or your so-called faith and your so-called obedience result in a life of worship to him? It's not a song. What is your most valuable possession that you can give to God? Without faith and obedience, your heart is not aligned with God. And so how can you present, how can you bring your heart to him if you don't believe in him, number one, and you don't obey him? Church, this is the difference. This is when the world will see the move of God. This is when people will see God through your life. Is when our lives, we die to ourselves, and our lives become an act of worship unto the King. Amen. What is he asking you to do today? What is he asking you to do today? And then I'm going to ask us just to bow our heads and close our eyes. So maybe you're standing here this morning and you've never been in a church before, or this is your first time here, or maybe you've never heard the gospel preached. Maybe you've never heard about this guy, Jesus, the Savior, this Lord. Maybe you've never heard of it. But I pray that through this sermon and through this preach today, that somehow Jesus has made his way into your heart this morning. And actually just saying, come. I want to know you, and I want you to respond to me. As the gospel is preached, faith comes to our hearts, and we see this Jesus. But the very next thing that we need to do to complete the faith is to obey. He's calling you. He's calling you into his kingdom. He's asking you to come, and would you draw near to him? He's asking you to accept him. And so this morning, I'm just going to give us 2 minutes. If that is you, every eye is closed, every head is bowed. I don't want anybody looking around. And if that is you, I want you to put up your hand and say, Mike, it's you. Not now, I'm going to give you just a minute. I want you to just to quickly lift up your hand so that I can see. Not for anybody else, I just want to see. So I'll give you a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are speaking to hearts, that you desire people to come into your kingdom, Father. You desire people to come into your kingdom, Father. You desire for them to be reconciled to you, to be in relationship with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If that is you this morning, I want you to quickly, as high as you can, just lift up your hand. No one's looking around, it's just me. Lay your lives to Jesus. There's another hand there. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm not going to rush this because I really believe. There's another hand. Well done. Well done. Heaven celebrates as these hands go up. Why? It's because he's getting the victory. God's getting the glory. It's through faith and obedience. For his name's sake, he is giving praise right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to make a second call this morning. The second call is this. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 that there are those that have heard the truth. There are those that have heard the gospel. There are those that know about Jesus. They know that Jesus is Savior. Just like I said, Satan knows who Jesus is. You might know who he is. But here's the thing. It says the torment that they will go through because they haven't submitted to his ways as him as Lord of their lives. They haven't died to themselves and given their lives to God and walked away from their sinful ways and walked away from their old life. Those people, Jesus will say in the book of Matthew, it says, depart from me, for I do not know you. And my friend, he does not know you, yet you've known about him, yet he does not know about you because you didn't submit your life to him. And here comes the greatest torment. You think the fire that will burn you every single day for eternity will be the greatest torment? It will be nothing compared that you had the opportunity, that you knew Jesus, and you are in hell. That you are in hell, and you had the opportunity to lay your life down for him. Think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. He gave you an opportunity. My friends and family, I want to say to the people that are in here in New Gen, you might be attending a life group and you might be the biggest buddy with the leader. You might be leading in our Sunday school. You might be leading off this platform and worship. But I want to tell you something. You cannot deceive God. You might be able to deceive man, but you can't deceive God. And I want to say to you, you better make sure that your life is being obedient to the commands of God. You better make sure that your faith is true. Why? It's because you live an obedient life to God's commands. That you are willing to die to yourself and gain Christ. And so if that is not you, if you have asking you to turn away from, God is asking you to leave the life of sin. God is asking you to leave your old life. And he's asking you to pursue him, to lay your life down for him, and to be obedient in the faith to him. And so if that is you this morning, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Don't worry, we're not going to call anybody forward, but I want you to be truthful in your heart as to where you are with God this morning. This is serious, church. If we want to see the power of God move in our nation, we better be people who are obedient to God. And so if that is you this morning, I want you to put up your hand as well. I'm only looking. I'm the only person that's looking. Thank you, sir. 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 It's about 10 hands that just went up. Thank you, sir. Lord. Thank you, Father. People are realizing, God, that they need to leave their old lives. They need to submit to your lordship, Father. That they may be obedient to you and the power of God will work through. Sir and ma'am, the people that have lifted up your hands right now, I want to tell you something right now. That act of faith by lifting up your hand, I'm just going to trust God that he's going to move in your life with so much power, it's going to blow your mind. That God is going to touch nations through your life because you've been obedient to his command this morning. We just praise God for that right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
We'll respond by lifting our voices up in praise to God. I want to make the point that you're not saved from the fire of hell because you raised your hand. You're saved because Jesus died on the cross. But that hand being raised is an outward physical expression and evidence of an inward reality. And so too, if you responded to Mark saying, is there stuff that you need to repent of, that you need to come back to God in obedience? It's the power of God inside of you that's witnessing and that's working. It's not Mark. It's not your hand being raised that's going to make the difference. And that there's this combination between the two. And there's this relationship. And so in your spirit, you heard truth. And in reality, in the physical, temporal reality we live in, you raised your hand. And so for many of you today, you raising your hand was an act of war against the lethargy and the apathy of the flesh and the sin of flesh. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to sing. And your singing is a physical expression of an inward reality. It is as much an act of war as you raising your hand, if not more. And so as God has spoken to you this morning, as He has come and put His finger on your heart, as He's addressed areas in your life, won't you respond to Him in worship as you lift your voice up together with all of us, and we trust God, theology, that we hang this truth on the pegs of worship now, and we say, God, come, we war against this flesh. We war against this thing inside of us, this disobedience that lives inside of us. And so let's raise our voices now and sing.
Can't.